The Word of God tells us, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Mark chapter 7 and verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they watch, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. This commandment speaks about filial honor. That's the terminology that we use to describe this commandment. It's commanding us to give filial honor. Honor to our parents. It's a lifelong thing. As long as our parents are alive, we are to give them this honor. This, as the theologians talk about, filial honor. You see, what underpins the fifth commandment is respect. Respect. It starts in the home with respect for the parents. And then it moves out into society where we are to respect those in authority in our society. And you know, the problem today is that there's no respect. Or at least we could say there's very little respect. There's very little respect in the home. Very little respect shown to parents today by their children. And you see, whenever there's little or no respect in the home for the parents, then is it any wonder that whenever the young person goes out into the world, that there's no respect for authority out there, and they go into the classroom and there's absolutely no respect for the teacher, and the teacher's life is a misery because of that lack of respect. So respect underpins this fifth commandment. It's a very important commandment. As I've already mentioned, it's the first commandment that a promise is attached to. And it tells us that if we keep this fifth commandment, if we honor our father and our mother, it says that our days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want you to notice, first of all, today as we come to the heart of the message, notice the emphasis that's placed on this commandment. The emphasis, notice where the emphasis lies. Honor thy father and thy mother. I want you to carefully note that it doesn't say parents. Honor thy parents. It doesn't say that. It specifically says, honor thy father and thy mother. The Lord, the Almighty God, is making the distinction. He's emphasizing the gender. There's a father, there's a mother, there's a male, there's a female. I mentioned last Sunday night about the plans of our government to change birth certificates. You know that at the present time on the birth certificate of a child, there's the name of the father and the name of the mother. The government is planning to change that so that on the birth certificate it simply says name of parent A and name of parent B. And of course, as I said last Sunday night, the reason for that is to accommodate same-sex couples. We've talked in recent days about the government trying to steamroller gay marriage into our society, forcing gay marriage down people's throats. And the plan is that on the birth certificate, it would just be parent A and parent B, so that if you have two men who are married, both their names will go on the certificate if they adopt a child. Shocking, isn't it? It flies in the face of the fifth commandment, because the Lord very specifically says there's a father and a mother. That's the plan of God. The plan of God, right from the beginning, was that the family unit would be made up of a father and a mother. And in the fifth commandment, the emphasis is on that distinction between the gender of the two parents. Thank God for fathers and mothers. I thank God for the fathers and the mothers in this service today. Whether you're older or younger, I thank God for you. And I thank God that you've made the effort to be here today. And I know that's not easy, especially when you have young children. I know that's not easy getting out. I know that's not easy trying to get everything sorted before 11:30 comes round. But I appreciate it. And the Lord appreciates it. The Lord sees the effort that you've made to be here this morning, father or mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Of course, this commandment doesn't apply to people whose parents have passed away, obviously. Neither does this commandment apply to orphans. You know, little orphans whose perhaps their parents have been killed in a car crash or some other tragedy has taken place, and the little ones have been they've been left without parents. Obviously, this command doesn't apply to them. But for those whose parents are alive, this command applies to them. And you see, there's one reason today why you and I should keep this commandment. Those of us whose parents are still alive. We should keep this commandment because there's coming a day whenever we'll not be able to keep it. There's coming a day whenever our parents will pass away. Now, none of the other commandments are like that. You see, we can keep the other nine as long as we're alive. But this one commandment, the fifth commandment, we'll not always be able to keep it. We'll not always have the opportunity to keep it, because the day will come when even though we are still alive, our parents won't be. And so we'll no longer have the opportunity to obey the fifth commandment. So we need to do it while we can. May God help us to honour our father and our mother. Oh, the emphasis here is on the father and the mother. There is a clear difference made between the parents. Notice not only the emphasis in this commandment, but notice the encouragement that's given to us. The encouragement, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There are probably two interpretations here, two main interpretations of this promise. First of all, the Lord is saying that if you obey the fifth commandment, if you honor your parents, if you respect your parents, generally speaking, your life will be longer and healthier than the person who disobeys this commandment. Generally speaking. Now, I know that there are the exceptions to the rule, because there are times whenever Christians, godly Christians, are taken out into eternity while they're young. But generally speaking, the rule is that if we abide by this commandment, if we show the respect that God asks us to show to our parents, generally speaking, our lives will be blessed. They'll be blessed with good health. They'll be blessed with prosperity. They'll be blessed to a greater extent than the person who disobeys this commandment. The person who disobeys this commandment, the person who breaks this commandment, in a sense, we could say, their life will be cursed, as it were. Their life will be dogged with problems that the child of God won't have. The person who obeys this commandment, they'll not have those problems. So that's the first interpretation of it, that our lives, as far as their quality and their quantity, they will be blessed rather than the person who fails to keep this commandment. Then there's the other interpretation. It's to do with the nation as a whole. The Lord says here, if you as a people, as a nation, if you keep this commandment, then thy days shall be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's speaking about national blessing. It's speaking about national security. God is saying here that the nation, the country that honors its parents, that nation will be blessed. That nation will prosper. My smile of approval will be upon that nation. But the nation that has no respect for parents, the nation that disregards the fifth commandment, that nation will be damaged and corrupt and decaying. It will be a nation that will not have the blessing of God, but rather the curse of God upon it. As we look at our nation today, surely we have to say that our nation has disregarded the fifth commandment. I've already touched on the fact that the government plan to call parents, parent A and parent B, that's an attack upon the fifth commandment. Getting rid of the term father and mother. But even as we think of the general lack of respect today for parents, surely it reminds us, surely it reveals to us today that our nation is a nation that is in decay. It is a nation that is on the slide. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he tells us one of the signs of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us that one of the signs of the last days will be whenever children are disobedient to parents. And surely we can see that today. Disobedience to parents, lack of respect for parents. Now, we're not just talking about the little ones, the little toddlers. I know that there's a lack of respect there very often, and I know that very often the little ones can disobey the parents, but we're thinking as well about older ones, about teenagers, about young people, young men, young women, even those who have reached adulthood. So often there can be a lack of respect for the parents. And where you have a society, where you have a nation, where there is a lack of respect that permeates the society, then it's a nation that is going downhill, and going downhill fast. Oh, the Lord urges us as individuals and as a nation. He urges us to honor our father and our mother. Of course, we could speak about the family unit. We could speak about marriage, because that all comes into the fifth commandment. Isn't it sad today that our nation undermines the traditional family unit? Isn't it sad today that our nation undermines the marriage institution, the marriage of one man and one woman? How sad it is. Today we find ourselves in the situation where we have disregarded the fifth commandment. And we need to get back to this commandment as quickly as possible. So we have the emphasis and the encouragement. But then think about the everyday, because there is an everyday practical side to this commandment. The Lord says, honor thy father and thy mother. And the next question is, how can we do that? How can children, or even older people whose parents are still alive, how can they honor their father and their mother? Well, we could say many things about this, but I want to highlight two areas. First of all, we honor our father and our mother by accompanying them to the house of God. That's one of the greatest ways that a child can honor their father and their mother. Isn't it a blessed thing? Isn't it a blessed sight to behold whenever children follow in their parents' footsteps, and as the little ones grow up, they're brought along to the house of God, and as they enter into teenage years, they still come to the house of God. As they go up into adulthood, they're still found in the house of God. They're not ashamed to sit beside their parents. That's a wonderful thing. I long that in our home that would be the case. You know, friends, one of my greatest fears is that the day will come whenever my little children will not want to come to church, and they'll not be found in the house of God. I dread that day would ever happen. I dread that should ever take place. I often say, God forbid that the day should ever come whenever my children fly in the opposite direction and have no time for the house of God. Now, if they choose someday, perhaps, whenever they get married and they move on and they choose to attend another church where the gospel is preached, I'll be happy. But if the day comes whenever on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening they're sitting in the house, they're watching television, or they're washing the car,
my heart will break. I long that my children, I trust that this is your prayer too. I know it is. That your prayer is that your children would accompany you to the house of God. That's one of the greatest ways, one of the greatest evidences of a young person who honors their father and their mother. They accompany them to the house of God. You know, there's a lot of children, a lot of young people today, and they would be ashamed to go to the same church as their parents. They'd be ashamed to sit in the same pew as their parents. That's so sad. Oh, that God would give us a church filled with parents whose children are found in the same pew, whose children are glad to come to the same church as their parents, whose children find it a delight to accompany their parents to the church. But then there's a second way that we can honor our parents, not only by accompanying them to church, but secondly by avoiding hurting them. If we truly honor our father and our mother, we won't want to do anything that would hurt them. You know, the story is told of a group of young lads who were making their way home from school one day, and some of the young fellows were trying to lead this other young chap into mischief. And he was a saved young man, and he wouldn't do whatever it was that they wanted him to do. And they turned around, they started to laugh. Ah, you're not doing that because you're afraid that whenever you get home, your father will find out and he'll hurt you. The young man turned and he said, no, actually, the reason I'm not doing this is not because I'm afraid of my father hurting me. I'm afraid that he would find out and I would hurt him. I'm afraid that he would find out and he would be hurt. That's the kind of attitude that a person who honors the fifth commandment has. They don't want to hurt their parents. They don't want to do anything that would cause grief and suffering to their parents. You see, really, we have so many reasons to honor our parents. Whenever we think of what our parents have done for us, whenever we realize the sacrifices that they have made for us, surely the least we can do is to honor them. You know, this commandment's not hard. It's not unfair. It's not as if God is asking us to do something that's too hard. Lord, well, that's a bit over the top. That's too much. You're expecting a bit too much, Lord. No, whenever we consider that our parents brought us into this world, and from our first breath, they cared for us, they looked after us, they provided for us, they put food on the table, they clothed us, they did everything we needed them to do. We were helpless, and they tended us, and lifted us, and led us for the first 18 years of our lives. And sometimes it's even longer. Whenever we actually sit down and think about all that our parents have done for us, it'll not be difficult to keep the fifth commandment. The emphasis, the encouragement, the everyday application of this commandment. Then the example. I want you to finish with the example. And consider this as we close the service. The example. The greatest example of someone who kept this commandment is the Savior himself. Do you want to read about someone who kept this commandment perfectly? Do you want to have a role model to follow today?
Think about the Savior. We sing that carol at Christmas time, once in Royal David's City. Listen to one of the verses. And through all his wondrous childhood, he would honor and obey, love and watch the lowly maiden in whose gentle arms he lay. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. The Lord Jesus Christ honored and obeyed his parents. And I want you to think about the Savior for a moment or two as we finish. Time has gone, but let me make one or two comments as we bring the service to a conclusion. As we think of the Savior's example, we think of how outspoken he was. How outspoken he was. You're maybe wondering, why did you read Mark chapter 7? Well, the reason we read Mark chapter 7 was because the Lord Jesus spoke out. He hit out in that portion at the scribes and the Pharisees who were dishonoring their parents. The scribes and the Pharisees were not looking after their parents. The scribes and the Pharisees were neglecting their parents, and Jesus speaks out against them. He tells us in Mark chapter 7, verse 12, And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. What was happening here was that the Pharisees, they were using the excuse, oh, well, Lord, we can't help our parents. We can't give to our parents because we have given all our money to the temple and we have surrendered everything to the work of God. So we don't have anything left to give to our parents. And they were using this word, korban, korban. Whenever the parents would be in need and they'd ask that, their son for something, the Pharisee would turn around and he'd say, sorry, korban, I've given it all to the work of God. I'm sorry I can't help you. And this is the kind of behavior that was taking place. And the Lord Jesus Christ hit out against it. He said, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, you religious leaders. Aye, you say that you're giving this and that and the other to the work of God and to the temple. Charity begins at home. Christianity begins at home. No point you giving to the temple and professing that you give to the temple if your parents sitting at home are being dishonored and neglected. He was outspoken. But he was not only outspoken about this commandment, he was obedient to this commandment. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. The Lord Jesus, at 12 years of age, he had gone up with his parents to the temple, but it tells us when he returned home to Nazareth, he was subject unto them. He honored his father and his mother. The greatest example of the Lord Jesus honoring his parents is found at the cross. Because it tells us in John chapter 19 and verse 27, the words that the Savior spoke to John the Apostle. John chapter 19 verse 27, then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. There you have it. Right there at the old rugged cross. The place where Jesus bled and died. The very heart of our salvation. Right there at the cross, you have the greatest example ever of someone who kept the fifth commandment. The Lord Jesus cared for his mother. And he committed her to the care of John the Apostle.
You know, the cross is wonderful. We see so much at the cross. I wonder, have you ever been to the cross? You see, that day, whenever Jesus died, his mother Mary was standing at the foot of the cross. And he honored the fifth commandment that day. He honored the woman who stood at the foot of the cross. I wonder, have you ever been to the foot of the cross? By faith, have you ever come to the Savior? Have you ever called out to him for mercy? Are you saved? Have you been washed in that blood that fell from the cross? Let's pray.